Requirements for a meeting, you know, how to go about setting up a meeting in a strange place, as we've done in the past, you know.
Okay, well, let's talk about that.
So many people say we have it, you know. Yeah, I know I can get a kit, but you know, how do I go about really setting up a meeting?
Yeah, but you know, one thing I was thinking of how we can handle this, which would probably be the best for me, would be to just talk about each of the sections we talked about.
You want to leave us?
I think I may have gone a little bit.
Well, that's all right.
It might be a bit wordy.
Well, we'll let you check it out afterwards.
You read it out. Yeah. Read it out and see what you think. Yeah. Whether or not you think I should rewrite it. Okay, the first part of the meeting book. But here's an outline, Jimmy. Now, what I'd like to do is just, and I'd like to keep this tape to work from.
Yeah, that's right.
I think we should take each heading. And you have a copy of that.
Yeah, I have a copy of that.
And just discuss each section. Start by discussing the first section. And the first section is the NA meeting description, purpose, except for traditions and overview. And I think we have to get into, you know, like, what is an NA meeting?
Yeah.
Maybe we should come from the pamphlet on that.
Well, of course, we've got the first thing. We've got to define the group. Maybe we have to start with the group and then the fellowship and then what a meeting is. And what a meeting is, what the purpose of the meeting is.
Well, as I understand it, like...
The way that the other fellowship handles that is that we're two or more gathered together, just like we are.
As a meeting.
We constitute a group, actually.
As I understood it, a group is a meeting on a regular basis.
Well, it could be even on an irregular basis. It wouldn't make much
sense. But a planned meeting.
See, but as long as they are gathered together to carry the message to other people.
Right.
This constitutes a group, really. But okay. To be a group as such, really, you have to belong in such a way that it's a regularly scheduled meeting where people know that they can
right there.
So it's just one of those questions as to a definition that really doesn't affect us too much. Yeah,
actually, this should probably be called the group book, because what we're really talking about is not the meeting, not the one-to-one meeting out in the street,
no,
but it's really the group book.
Yeah.
How to start a group, how to get in touch with the fellowship, how to stay in touch with the rest of the fellowship, which is the unity of the first tradition, which contains the carrying of the message to the tradition three. See? It really carries both. You say,
whatever I have to do to keep my sobriety, that's what I got to do. Your first step, but that's also your third tradition, and it's also your first tradition.
Right.
The all three of them are tied right in there.
That's true.
So we could point out,
why do you want to meet?
Suppose you're a loner, because we're running into a lot of loners. See? This is what we're running into, like AA did in the beginning. We're running into loners who want to start groups. Now, even though we send them a kit, see?
That isn't really anything terrible.
Then they don't really know where to go from there. Now, how do I let other people know that I'm in business to try to help? See? We should maybe have that considered, lay it out. If you're in a small town where you can approach the local editor, local paper, or whoever handles the public service aspects of news in your area, where you can put a little ad, public service ad, in the local paper, or in a school paper, or in any of the area papers that it might be, community papers.
Well, the note on the bulletin board, supermarkets.
Bulletin boards.
But this is all going to come later. This is under this, how to start a meeting and becoming a group within the fellowship, gathering support and membership.
Yeah, well, of course, that ties in with what we're talking about, the NA meeting as such. We've got to put this in the group book, see?
Yeah.
Group book, see? So the NA meeting is part of the group. That's where we start off. So we start off with a group and two or more are gathered together to carry the message of sobriety, to maintain their sobriety. They can constitute a group providing that as such, they have no other affiliations. That's the simple way that AA puts it.
Yeah.
Right. They're not affiliated with any other organization. So that's, well, that's where it's at, you know. First of all, that's the first requirement, well, first not requirement, but the first thought is two or more, okay? Two or more. To do what, you know?
For sobriety.
For sobriety. Two or more for sobriety.
To carry the message
and maintain, you know. To carry a message to maintain sobriety. Three.
No affiliation.
As such, no affiliation. With any other organization.
What about a lot of the
one thing? The one thing I would like to stress at the beginning, like this, that where two or more come together for sobriety, this would be, of course, the main reason of sobriety is that we use the steps for our personal program. And the traditions, since the traditions were, maybe that should come under this other heading.
Right here, becoming a group within the fellowship.
The traditions, the overriding tradition. That would really tie into number two, that the traditions are necessary.
Well, the way I was saying of doing it was starting out with what a simple group, a meeting is, which is this. Okay, from that, the purpose, description, purpose, can meet anywhere. It can be formal, informal, it can be anything.
Yeah.
And then in that, to an overview of the dishes, then go into how to start a regular meeting and become a group within the fellowship.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay.
But is there anything more we should say about the NA meeting? Of course, we're talking about some of the things that are in the pamphlet, like
we
are not under surveillance at any time. We have no leaders.
That's right. They could get that from the pamphlet. What we're trying to lay out here is really a skeleton so they can grasp right away.
But don't you think that should be included in this?
I think it would be that the, we could maybe put down four.
What is it?
Also as outlined in booklet. Our main booklet. And a group would be, because it is mentioned, a group.
A meeting.
A meeting, rather. No, we're talking about
the meeting here. See, a group
is outlined.
Grows from a meeting. Right?
Outlined in pamphlet. Meeting is outlined in the booklet, you know.
Yeah. And that could probably pretty much cover that front
section. That could pretty much cover number one, you know.
I think maybe at this point, before, why start a meeting? This would probably be in that, we say for two or more for sobriety, to carry the message, to maintain sobriety. But, you know, I think we're going to run into people who are going to find themselves alone.
That's right.
And we can go back into the history of AA and talk about the necessity for sharing the things we have. I think it's impossible to work the 12th step
without another ad. Yeah, but it's covered in our... Not really.
You only need one other person in order to be free.
Right.
Doesn't necessarily have to be another addict.
That's true. That's true.
And we see it's best to get another addict because maybe they best understand the ramifications of the illness. You know, since they understand addiction, addict recovery.
You have to have another addict to carry the message to the addict who still suffers.
That's right.
So it has to be
a loner can. You know, we don't want to stress that a loner can do this because a lot of them say, well, I can make it by myself that way, so I'm not going to carry the message. So what we want to do is to stress the fact that
there are a lot of ways to
more
carry
people
message.
That are around, the better it is.
So what a chance for any individual chance, has.
See? Now, part of that is just covered in the book. See? And part of the book that tells you how to go about it if you're alone. Well, if you're an institution and you're just getting out, or you are alone, you're in the hospital or so forth. How to go about it. See, let's get up in there.
Okay. I've got one of that briefcase right there.
I've got to go for something.
Here.
I just had one. See? See, right at the end of that. At the end of the
tradition,
see, it goes into that. Nothing's here. It's where the hands are. Nothing's here. Just before the traditions. Must be page, yeah.
What can
seven.
I do?
What can I do? See?
Right.
See, so see, begin your own program. Take step one. See? So you see, we have a good thing, see? Let me see. If you're an institution of any kind, see? If you're not in an institution, the same goes true. See? We've got the outline here.
Of what to do. Why
yeah.
start a meeting?
Why start? See,
I think part of what this book should do would be to make people want to start meetings.
Yeah.
And there are a lot, you know, I've started a couple of meetings. I know you've started a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I had to.
We see so much of it is in the booklet that we can refer to the booklet in this. See booklet, page 4 or 5 or whatever.
Or we can just requote it.
That requote the whole thing right in it. Might even be better. See?
I don't think we should say refer to.
No. They will see it as they pick up the booklet. They'll say, oh, yeah, I read that in the booklet. Like we often say, oh, yeah, I read that in the big AA book. You know?
Right.
See? Like so many, we used to find, if I could just give Betty one last night, I found a couple of them. Just the reprint of the chapter 5, the bare chapter 5, prologue and the 12 steps. That's all.
Right. See?
And it just says, taken from the big book. That's all. On it. See? But most people
now,
think
if
that,
I'm
no.
Gonna, if I'm going to put something out of here directly, yeah. Do I do that in quotations? Or
it would be better. I think it would be better if it doesn't quote.
Or do I put a footnote?
I think it would be better if we put it in quotations, really, because those booklets, anyway, probably what I'd like to try to do after we get some of these in print would be start right off the bat and get them in the Library of Congress. We have never done. Then.
Right.
If you get them in there, send them a couple of copies and get them in there, then you are in all the way. All we have to do is we do new stuff, we just send a couple of copies in. That's all, get it in there, you know?
Yeah.
And then we're okay. It's not a matter that we're really copywriting or anything like that because it doesn't make any difference. If anybody wants to use it, they don't live off of it.
Yeah.
As long as they don't call themselves a member group, you know, unless they want to be a member group.
Right.
But if anybody else wants to use them.
Or the ideas.
Yeah, right. So I think we could do that. Anything in the book that you think would cover this, see? I think we could use it from the book.
All right, well, why would you start a meeting?
I start a meeting primarily to maintain my sobriety. That's primarily why I was started. I don't want to be a loner, you know?
Well, a lot of times you said that a lot of meetings have been started to fulfill a specific need an individual has. Maybe out of resentment, maybe something else.
Yeah.
Now I know a step study
a secondary thing, but we know that helps us spread the fellowship, you know.
Right.
It's not something to say, hey, get a resentment so you can go start a new meeting. We encourage people to start a new meeting anyway.
You know, I think it all ties in with you do what each individual has
here,
to do.
We can mention here that some of the reasons that we have grown is that people who started right here have moved to other states, 200 areas within the state, and have started meeting as a result of finding themselves alone and knowing that they cannot, or find it very difficult to maintain the sobriety alone.
Right.
If you're cut off, if you're separate from people of a like nature, see? Well, since we are different in nature from most people, when you find somebody with a like nature, then that is one of the best reasons to start a meeting.
Well, you know, we've always looked for other dope.
And not only that, but you see, we're going to have to grow, and growth doesn't come by ourselves easily. It comes more easily when we recognize ourselves and others. This is what it says in the book again. But we recognize, recognizing ourselves and others, we see the need to grow and to change. And that's more easily done in conjunction with other people who are trying to grow also. Okay? Well, I'm trying to keep a status quo, because maintenance is not growth, really.
Right.
To maintain sobriety is not growth. You have to go further than just maintain. To maintain is fine, you know. Maintain, but maintain means to keep your status quo, more or less. You know? Now, it may be that maintaining your sobriety at a certain level, a good level for you, may work, you know. But think, it may not work for somebody else that way. And that's the reason why even in AA, you know, they talk about the fact that many people can stay sober on a non-spiritual basis. Those who have not progressed to the point of complete impulsiveness, advanced sensitivity, both to the drug physically and to the mental quirks that we have, who've advanced into fantastic and then disordered thinking. You know, these people must find a very strong program. But there are people who have not advanced or progressed that far into the illness. And so many of them can alter and modify their behavior and stop.
Right.
And not perfectly happy where they are. But we always find it difficult. These are some of the people we look at and we say, I don't know, it just don't seem like maybe I relate as well to them. And yet we have to remember that perhaps people coming in, some of them will relate well to them. We may not relate to some of the rest of us who went a long, long way. So no matter who we are, we find a place in the meeting that fits us. See?
Well, I think another reason for starting a meeting and bringing, you're talking about it really, is that, you know, the whole purpose is to provide a situation in which addicts can recover.
That's right.
And if I'm limiting the situation of the people I'm working with, of recovery, just to my experience, for example, I can't stay clean working somebody else's program. And I know one thing I found is the more people I had to identify with in the beginning and grab bits and pieces from here and there, I couldn't get it all from one person.
That's right.
Because we lead different lives, we always have.
You know, I used to get on the clubhouse in AA, you know, at the beginning. I was in that clubhouse at 7 o'clock in the morning sometimes.
Yeah.
And then I'd come home, I'd go to work for a few hours, I'd come back, I'd stop in the clubhouse, I'd go, I'd either get dressed for a meeting, bother getting dressed, and move right back down again to a meeting. I needed the support of everybody I could run into in the beginning. Everybody, because I didn't feel free for a long time. I didn't feel safe for a long time. I didn't feel secure, my own person, my own mind, for a long time. A long, long time. Let's face it. And so I borrowed the strength of other people for a long while before I found my own. I found it primarily then by trying to give away what I was getting. Whatever I was getting, I was trying to also give it away.
Yeah.
And this is one of the reasons, too, that meetings are so beneficial, that no matter how bad you feel, sometimes you can go to a meeting, and there always seems to be another...
Somebody feeling worse.
Another personality over and above all the people that are at a meeting. It seems to be something.
Group conscience.
See? And it's the group, could be the group conscience, it could be whatever we want to call it. Some people probably force their higher power, that feeling. They feel that any time there are two or more people gathered together, it's only just those two people. What they share, but there seems to be something else that helps them to listen. I think very often that's exactly what people find when they come. They find much more than they bargained for.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, you know, talking about this the forming of a group, back in the beginning of AA, now, Bill couldn't achieve anything until he found Dr. Bob.
And then it came about from 12-step work, principally.
Right.
Because the 12 steps were not written. As we know, they came out of Bill's story, lock, stock, and barrel. They came right out of Bill's story, although he never said it did. But if you read his story in the book, you'll find out that every step is represented in a couple of pages of Bill's story. And then, as time went on, they found out with Dr. Bob that it was also his story. It almost was word for word, you know. And nearly all the people ever since then, if you look at their lives, you will see where all of them recovered in much the same way.
Yeah.
There was a period when they were so down and so beat that they hit bottom. And then from there, and the realization that they had to surrender in order to get well, or at least change some of their attitudes, some of their motivations, they began to get well, some at a very fast and some at a very slow pace. You'll find that maybe even harder for most of the addicts that we've run into, because we haven't had enough people to support them as we have in AA at a later date.
Right.
In the beginning, they were very close, like we are, and most of our small groups, very, very tight together. We spend a lot of time with each other.
Yeah, that's both a curse and a blessing.
And that's where some of the meetings first started. They didn't start out. They used to meet, AA used to meet in the Oxford group, you know, and that's when they first began to know that meetings were probably the best thing they could do, get together in meetings. And their first meetings, you know, they didn't have like we did. At least we started, we kept it pretty much to addicts and their families. But when AA first started, and then they left the Oxford group, their meeting was open to anybody. Anybody with an emotional problem, whether they were alcoholics or not.
Yeah.
See? And then they soon find out that that was beginning to disrupt some of the things, because there were too many non-alcoholics there. It wound up in extraneous matters being discussed, instead of just straight recovery. How do I recover? How do I get well? It got down into more psychological discussions, which maybe all right, but by and large, they never worked for us. We've got to get out of that gut feeling, you know, not the intellectual approach.
And out of these early experiences came the tradition.
And out of those early experiences, the policies grew. We were very fortunate that the policies were already written before we got going.
Right.
Because we realized in the beginning traditions were absolutely necessary. And that's why we could also mention that for a long while, some of the people who were actually running what there was of NA stopped following the traditions and it started to die. So we learned from that pretty early that the traditions were completely necessary for growth. And since we have picked up again, we've been growing.
Yeah.
So all these things can be brought in, because a lot of it actually is in the book.
Yes, this leads where we are now leads naturally into an overview of
tradition. Right. That's right.
And how important they are.
That's
in this
right.
Group,
and
which is that second section.
Yeah. So I think even in the first book that it wouldn't hurt to put some of these things, you know, because we'll probably put how it works and the traditions in some part of that booklet, front and last page, like this. You know.
Definitely.
See? And put a little lead into it. See? So that more or less covers, I guess, what here and whatever you said on the tape might fill in some of that.
Right. Well, this is I'm counting a lot on the tape.
Yeah.
And I may quote you.
Yeah.
In the place.
Well, that's sure. That's okay.
You know.
Yeah. And then, of course, too, the tradition we just talked about.
Well,
that.
Just started getting into it.
We just started getting into that in a natural way. See the tradition, the realization, the realization that the traditions, you know. Were imperative, see? Imperative for fellowship's growth. Fellowship's growth, see? Because the fellowship we know is going to die without it, see? The growth of the fellowships and our own, you know, our own survival.
Well, I think even more than I see the traditions and the steps, the whole program.
Well, that is
as working out of a personal need, not so much the need of the group. After all, the tradition talks about personal recovery.
Yeah, but what the traditions do also is something even more than that. It will take away part of that ego trip that so many of us can go on when we first start doing 12-step work. We get over the fear that what can happen to us in 12-step work and start to do it. And then, especially with addicts, so many of them don't want to go out because they're afraid. And you've got to encourage them to go out. But it's also very, very easy to fall into that ego trap. You know, we're going out and save all these addicts, you know. And this can become an ego trip that can be harmful, not only to ourselves, but to the people we're trying to help. So the thing is that the tradition saves us from that, because it says the group, whatever group we belong to, that is their responsibility to carry the message. Principally, it's the group's responsibility to carry the message, and not really the individual, although we all do it. But we do it as a group. If I find that there's somebody that I can't handle them, or I don't understand them well enough, which happens occasionally, I may think, hey, Danny could handle him. You know, Jack could handle him. Greg could handle him, you know.
Yeah.
Which is what we do, Jeffy. Say, hey, I think you can talk to this guy. I think you got more on the ball as far as he's concerned. I think you'll relate to him better than I do. It's not a matter of shuffling anybody off. It's a matter of trying to do the best we can for a newcomer.
Yeah, well, I think that's, you know, that ties right into the importance of the sponsor. So I think one of the things I've gotten most from sponsors is direction towards other people.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I thought of when you were talking about fear of 12-step work, in the experience of NA, one of the conditions of parole is normally disassociation.
Well, we had that trouble. We had a lot of that trouble in the beginning, but now we don't hear about it so much because the program now, our fellowship now, is recognized. That's being accepted as a good means of recovery. As a matter of fact, our association with the LAPD is excellent. Excellent. They give us a high rating, you know. And, in fact, sometimes when I get requests from other towns and other cities around, I advise them to call LAPD and get them to run it down as to what we are. To call the LAPD Intelligence Department and see what they think of our fellowship. And so far as I know, we have never got anything except very good reports from them. I had that one, the chief of police of Palm Springs one time.
Well, even...
And I did that with him, and he called LAPD, and he got an excellent...
Even the guy from Anaheim,
right,
the chief of police.
So these are the things.
Even at that second convention, you know,
some states, it's still the old way. They have to go down there. I think primarily what they have to do is what we talked about. That'll come into the part here where it actually is the starting of the meeting.
Right. The next
going to the local authorities, whether it's the sheriff, the chief of police, or whatever it might be, either a township, or a small city, or whatever, or a hamlet, or a village. Going to the people in charge and telling them what you're going to do, because you've got something to offer. It'll be helpful. We'll save them money, we'll save them headaches, we'll save them time.
And give them an outlet.
And give them something where they can refer to us.
Right.
You know, say to somebody, I know where you can get help if you want it. If you don't want it, that's your business. But you know what's going to happen, you know. And possibly, at least, if it's just a matter of getting them off the hook sometimes, they may come to a few meetings and hook themselves in.
Yeah.
Okay? So these are things that we've found in the past and probably are still very true in some areas. Now, luckily, up in Montana, where Rosemary is, you know, they all seem to be wide open because of the fact that so many government programs now are being funded and people are looking for all kinds of help. And we are one of the places. We've got a couple of letters, as a matter of fact, just this past week's mail. There's one right there. And some of that mail, you know, that are just exactly in that category, you know. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have to answer a couple of them tomorrow.
Well, can you kind of come up with a kind of overview of the tradition?
Well,
I know you've taken the steps, and we've talked about them in different levels of purpose and fulfilling certain needs. The traditions do the same thing.
The traditions actually do the same thing, and they tie in hand because if I take my first step and I want to stay clean, I want to get clean and stay clean. The best way then, of course, that my program tells me to do it is try to give away whatever it is I got. That means I've got to go look for another addict who wants what I want, if possible. And in doing that, then I'm taking the third tradition and the first tradition. We're actually both there. And then, what I said just a few minutes ago about the group being responsible, whatever the group is, whether it's only one person or whether it's three people, you know, to take responsibility to carry the message to the newcomer, that in the tradition means that we're sharing, all sharing, in the process of growth. We're all sharing the thing. Hell, there were times when we were not six or seven of us to call on one guy, you know. Because everybody was afraid to go alone except maybe one of us, you know. And even there, I was never too sure when I went alone whether I wanted to go alone. I really did want to go alone. I wanted others to come with me to share it and perhaps help in areas maybe where I couldn't handle it myself. You know, I go down and see some of these guys that did a lot of big jail time, you know. Now, if I got somebody with me who had done some jail time, that was one more added thing that they could recognize and relate to.
Where?
It's not always necessary, but it almost helps to have a little ace in the hole, too. There's always a little ace in the hole. And yet some of the guys who've done a lot of time, they appreciate more somebody who will come into a road camp, jail, or a pen, a federal pen even, who have never done any time. They always say to themselves, more or less, Jesus Christ, these people are willing to come in here, and they never did any big time. Well, they can understand people who have one time coming back.
Yeah.
To carry the message. Well, when people like you and I, who have never done anything in time, maybe we go over and state, hey, I've never been in jail, so I don't understand some of the things you guys have had to go through. You know, state it honestly. I don't know. Some of these guys, I've had some of them say to me, Jesus, how the hell can you stay on the street all those years without dying?
Yeah.
God, if it hadn't been for going to jail, I'd have been dead. See, so no matter how we look at it, there's an advantage and a disadvantage both ways. And I think these are all the things that tradition actually takes care of, you know. I said there's no bosses. It says our conscience is our guiding light, more or less. We try to carry only the requirement is that you want to get clean. And of course, five is that our main purpose is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. So all of them really tie together with our third, our seventh, our 11th, and our 12 steps. Principally those steps, they all tie together with the tradition.
Well, I see the traditions talking about three basic things. Freedom for the group, freedom for the individual, and direction.
Action
for action. With others.
That's right. And it gives us the thing that's necessary so much for the individual and for a group, the goodwill. Because goodwill is the ground. Without that, we couldn't do any of the other things.
Right.
We have to have that attitude of goodwill. You know, this is what we talk about, and there are only three things that are indispensable.
Honesty,
open-mindedness, and the willingness to grow. See? And the willingness to grow generally stems from goodwill, as does honesty and open-mindedness.
Yeah.
I stop looking for dissimilarities in people. I begin to look, hey, where am I like these other people here? Oh, God, I can see it, you know? Yeah. And maybe I never did some of the things that you did, or maybe I did do some things you never did, but you know, funny thing, God, he mentioned how afraid he was sitting in the room all by himself. Geez, I used to feel that. You know, I was afraid to go out of the house.
Yeah.
Who can understand that, each other? Well, the guy that can't wait till he gets the hell out of jail, and then the night before he goes out, he starts to sit down and he starts to think, Jesus Christ, what the hell am I going to do when I get out now? Am I going to be able to stay clean? I want to, but am I going to be able to? Where can I go and what can I do? Well, if he's been introduced to the fellowship one way or another, he knows what he can do. Talks about it in our booklet. Contact a group, even he got to do it by mail.
Yeah, I think this is a meeting.
Or start a meeting. If you've been in an institution where NA or AA even has been a part, and there is no separate group, you learn how to conduct a meeting, how to set up a meeting, set one up in your hometown, your home area, and see if you can't help yourself primarily by helping others. So these are all things that tie in.
The thing I just thought of, now this is probably going to be going to a lot of members of AA, addict or non-addict, a lot of addict members of AA, and we know that there's been a lot of success in AA with addicts.
Because we were one of the people that helped them open that door in AA, but yet we know that...
I guess that's more true here in Southern California.
Yeah, it's more true here. It is not true in other areas of the country. However, it's getting better. Well, they don't have too many.
Right.
It's okay.
Okay, but the thing I'm getting to, here I am, hypothetical situation. I am an addict, sober.
Principally an addict, yeah.
Principally an addict, sober in AA. Okay. I'm working with newcomers. Why should I take them to NA rather than AA? Well, this is a question because of the identification,
the recognition.
Because of the fact that we have a responsibility to give these people the best shot we can.
Now that we are beginning to get wider response from all kinds of addicts who before wouldn't come, our fillheads before wouldn't come. And it wasn't because that they had originally started and were alcoholics to begin with before they got filled, although that's true of many. But the proper place for them is AA. You know, we know that. And they can have special meetings for the special problem in AA. And this is not true of us because since we recognize alcohol as a drug like every other drug, it's within our province, but we don't want to have strictly alcoholics come to our meetings either.
Because
AA very, very clearly stated, and very wisely, I think, said that a person who has a problem with addiction as a result of whatever, you know, as a secondary thing, then the proper place for him is AA. But we feel that those who have a distinct addiction problem, who perhaps drink also, you know, as a secondary addiction, they feel that they should go to NA. That's clearly in AA literature.
What's the tradition?
Bill has mentioned it.
The tradition.
Yeah, but in AA, they specifically mention it in that way.
No, for me, I see it that way. I say it a little different in that I'm an addict. I drank alcoholic.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I used alcohol as a drug.
That's right.
I didn't use drugs in place of alcohol.
Right. You didn't use drugs in a way that... there was a difference both socially, legally, and every other, medically.
Right.
And you in particular, you know, your story, it brings that out, that medically, as well as socially and legally, you were an addict. You could see that in your own life, principally. A lot of people couldn't see that. A lot of people added drugs, as I did, principally, to alcoholic addiction. But you see, I don't differentiate between addiction. But most people do. So we have to remember that that's the way most people look at fellowships, both of them. So we have to keep whatever is right for us is okay for us. If somebody else doesn't buy it, perhaps as time goes on, they will buy it. But how many people do we have who have reservations on the first step?
Well, I think this puts a responsibility on the person doing 12-step work, especially where both fellowships are available.
That's right.
I know there are times when I have taken
addicts,
users. I have taken them first to AA.
You can almost tell when they relate or when they don't.
Right. You can tell by... basically based on their, the pattern they used it.
See, look at Betty. Now, Betty's a perfect example. She first came to NA. Now, you know, most people who come now to NA as their first contact with the fellowship like ours have an entirely different attitude than those who went first to AA.
Right.
A completely different attitude. And, but that's okay, too. Because as time goes on, when we originally started NA, we knew some things that were going on, but now they're just beginning to believe. But primarily, we said we did not care where people went after they recovered.
Right.
We just had to see addicts recover.
The best chance to recover.
Give them the best chance to recover, and then if he wants to go to church, if he wants to go to the moon, if he wants to go to AA, if he wants to go anywhere, there weren't any other programs hardly then, you know.
But you know, along with this, something that we've noticed a lot in the last 3 years.
Oh, the last 5 years in particular, there's been great changes.
But one thing I've noticed is that the addict trying, who ignores NA, is on shaky ground.
Yeah.
And that many people who get initial, addicts who get initial sobriety in AA, you know, the ones who participate in both fellowships have so much better a chance than the one who
lives. They seem to have a completely different attitude, too. You know, they don't have that attitude towards one fellowship or the other that we see so often in AA.
Yeah.
I've got fellow addicts, you know, who are in AA, and they are strictly addicts, no doubt about it.
And they will.
And when I try to talk to them about NA at times, they'll bring up maybe the subject of NA, and then when I try to talk to them, they bring it up with a defensive attitude. Yeah, but AA is fine for me, you know. Well, we got that 20-some years ago from some of the fellows who are now dead.
Yeah, but I, you know, we've seen that it really isn't, because look at the Mason Mansion crowd.
Sure. Guys like Frankie in particular, 7 years ago from the Hollywood group, you know, he told me point blank, said, Frank, why don't you go over and help these guys? You're primarily an addict. He said, yeah. But I came into AA because I developed a very heavy, bad alcoholic addiction, you know. And he said, hell, let them find it the way I found it in AA. I said, Frank, you're one of many who found it in AA. The others didn't make it in AA. You got to realize that. He said, I said, don't you think it's that way? He said, you're right. But they can do it if they come here. I said, but how about the ones who won't come, that maybe stand the chance by knowing that there's a Narcotics Anonymous group that can help them? And he said, that makes sense. Okay, I'll come over to some of the meetings. I'll come over and talk to them. I come over and join them. And he did for a long time until he died. He would come in every so often. And we had other people in AA who did that. Then they had a different view entirely later on.
Well, yeah, even though my pattern, my using pattern of drugs was a maintenance type using and actually working and functioning,
right.
More of the alcoholic pattern.
That's right.
I wouldn't come to AA for the first 2 months I was around.
No.
Because I've never had an alcohol problem.
You didn't feel that that's where you belong.
You know, I'm an alcoholic.
Lots of people don't feel it.
But I've never had a problem with alcohol, per se.
But many people who did come to us and now find it easier in AA because of the numbers in AA, they can hide out a little bit easier. They're not asked to do as much to keep going.
Right.
But you know who I'm referring to. You've got quite a few people that see them, but they're sober and they're clean and they seem to be doing well. But when you talk to them, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just my imagination. I talk to some of them, they're very defensive. See, and if I'm defensive, then I'm not as free as I'd like to be. So I don't like that defensiveness. None of myself. If somebody else can live with that type of defensiveness, fine. But I talk to people sometimes, I have to get away from them early because all they do is throw up blocks and defenses as to why they're not coming to NA, and I don't even bring it up. But they begin to tell me right away why they haven't been to come to NA meetings.
Yeah.
And I sometimes say to myself, what are they trying to defend?
If it bothers you that much, right?
If they're clean and they're sober and they're having a good life.
And there's nothing to defend.
They have nothing to defend, truly, you know. But again, I have to realize that I'm looking back for a number of years, and maybe I was the same way years ago and don't remember. I don't know. I don't think so. But
that might have been. That might have been.
Okay, the next area is the, what we're talking about, is how to physically start a meeting.
Yeah. Yeah. Physical.
Okay, what are the things we need for the meeting? You need a location?
For a loaner, you know, there's a loaner. And,
what do you have to do before they're declared official?
Very often we get a loaner, we'll say, how do I start a group? What do I do?
Well, the only thing that the requirement as far as to be registered as an NA meeting is to contact the World Service Office.
World Service Office.
Okay.
And if they want to start a kid, that's of course at the present time we're starting that, and we're keeping it up till such time as we have enough places to start it around. But as time goes on, if they want to buy booklets then, or tapes or any other information we have, you know, any other pamphlets and so forth. The way we have started, I think, is a good way to keep up, you know?
Yeah.
Send a starter kit.
Well, as this develops, this probably should be one of the things we suggest as getting a meeting, because it'll have all the different formats in it and everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe later on, as time goes on, when there are a couple of groups, say, in an area, in a state within a couple hundred miles of each other, or less, where they can help each other then. Get start. We can contact them if anybody does.
Form a GSO.
Contact such and such a group, and then form your own GSO there in that area.
Right.
So these are things that could be. Principally, right now, we're concerned with the setting up of one meeting, say, in a place from an individual who's a loner.
Right.
Like Little Lynn did back east, like Rosemary is doing at the present time in Montana, like the people did down in Phoenix, like the people did in Dallas.
People did in San Francisco.
People did in San Francisco.
Well, anywhere other than Los Angeles.
First in San Francisco, we had people went up there and carried it more or less with them, you know.
Right.
But like the people did up in Walla Walla in Washington, and the people did down San Diego, they did the same thing.
Right.
So this was the way it started. In other words, they said, what do we do? So we told them.
Well, the first step is to contact the
phone. So, well, we'll send you a kit which will contain either 10 or 25 booklets in the format of the way to run a meeting, the general types of meetings we have, but principally, we tell you to find a place to meet, no matter where it is. One of the first things today, it's easier to find a place now in a church, since we have established ourselves so well that churches now know we're okay.
The Lutheran churches have
the Lutheran churches in particular, Unitarian churches, some Catholic churches are very, very open now. They were not before.
The YMCAs we've all
been in. YMCAs sometimes, these are all good places.
But those are usually pretty short-lived, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. But I think most of the churches are good to start with because they're established areas. They generally have places that you can meet, where you can make coffee, where you can set up a tape recorder if you have to. Maybe they have a little podium if you want to have a speaker meeting or invite somebody in that might be able to help. A special meeting.
But what about the funds for keeping these meetings going first?
The funds, they should start immediately with the seventh tradition. Even if there's only one or two people, even if they only take in $5 a month.
Right.
One of the ways we started, and of course I've been talking it up again, is that, especially if it's guys, you know, around, or even girls, who, since you don't have much money very often in the beginning, to contact the minister or whoever it is in the church and offer to do something in exchange for the meeting place.
Staying your way.
We had people would offer to type. Well, now maybe most churches have people who type, you know, so they generally turned us down on that. But we say things like, being that I was a roofer, you know, I used to say, well, how about if I keep your roof, maintain your roof for you? Check the leaks every year and make minor repairs, you know. Well, they would take a little death of that or do a little painting for you.
We get a couple of the guys together and paint a room. Even paint the room we're meeting in if it needs a paint job. You know? And most of these people will take them to that. To do that. Rather than have us make a small donation.
Right. Eh?
Because that way their places are being maintained. And then from that they found out that they could trust us to do what we said we would do.
Yes.
Keep the place in order. This is very, very important that we police the area that
we're using.
And we tell them to follow the formats in that. There should be no drugs or anything else like that in the possession. The way we started here, we told the narcotic division down there what we were going to do. And we said that it's possible that some people will come to the first meeting while it's still loaded. Maybe a couple of meetings while it's still loaded. And they gave us a break because they knew that as long as we were with us, they wouldn't be holding anything. So if you do that and make sure that the people get to the meeting and get back from the meeting under your supervision, we won't bother you. We won't stake you out. We won't keep you under surveillance. We'll take you at your word if that's what you're trying to do. And they did. They kept the word.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to get on that, you know, the money thing. The seventh tradition says we pay our
own way. Money, of course, no matter how little it is, keep a little bank account. Either you open a little bank account in the local bank, you don't have to have it even a checking account, just have a savings account, if that's all. Money you need to buy booklets later on, or pamphlets, or whatever we've got for sale, you've got it.
I think we found that here in Southern California that most of the meetings that are paying rent.
Yeah,
most of them have been somewhere paying around between $2 and $3 or $4 a night.
That's right.
This is maybe just a guideline, but If you're getting into a place that wants $5 or $10 a night, forget it.
That's right. You're getting into something because you've got such a small meeting in the beginning. And there are plenty of ways to do it. Because, although in the beginning many of us went into our own pocket to keep the meetings going that we were involved in, it was all right because that helped us. But there weren't too many people working sometimes.
Right.
It made it very difficult, you know, especially when we're making coffee and buying donuts or cakes or something. So we have to take cognizance of the fact that funds are necessary. And if we're going to have cakes given away, like, or something like that at the time, or chips,
pamphlets
and so forth at the end of the year, you know. When these people have been sober a year, then they've got to have funds to pay for it.
What about meeting at homes? Now, I have a meeting in my home right now, but I think
it's a good place to start.
I really don't think it's the idea
to maintain it.
No, it depends
on the people. Will not come to a home.
Right.
There's some people that just don't feel comfortable in the home.
Well, it's not a neutral
That's right.
ground.
That's right. And I found very often, sometimes in the home, of course, like your house and my house, we're so used to it, but most of them feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Come back to your house, you feel comfortable. They come here, they feel comfortable. But that's not true of every place we go.
Right.
So I think it's a good place to start, perhaps. And then after you get a little nucleus of a group, immediately start looking around for a place to have a meeting.
I think one thing that's important is start keeping records.
Keeping records of the funds that come in, keeping records of the outlay, keeping records of whatever records are necessary for their own good in order to keep themselves honest.
Right.
We've had too many people, you know, rip off whatever little funds are worth.
Well, what I've seen in that, as far as people taking the funds more than anything, is that this was one of the greatest stumbling blocks for people who were really making the attempt to make it.
It's very difficult. And yet, it's one of the areas of honesty that are very important. I had a kid call me not too long ago from up north, you know, and he told me that he had used some of the funds. I said, well, you're working, aren't you? He said, yeah. I said, so put it back, you know. Put it back in 2 payments. You can do that easy enough. He said, yeah, I intend to put it back. He said, but if my conscience is bothering me a little bit. And I said, yeah, okay then try not to do it again, you know. That's the best and most important thing. It's not your money. It belongs to the group, you know. So he paid it back right away. He said, I'll do it this Friday. He's coming by. As soon as I get paid, I'll put it back. It wasn't that big amount, you know, but it was enough that he felt bad about it, see?
Yeah.
And But say to other people, you know, they do that. They intend to pay it back, but then they get stuck.
Well, I think as long as you're keeping accurate records,
but
like for instance,
I said, well, why didn't you just put an IOU in there?
What?
Right. Well, like check with your secretary. See, you're the chairman. I said, check with your secretary. I have a I need $10. It's not good practice, but I need $10 to pay this. So I'll put an IOU in there and I'll pay it. But he's been clean and sober for over a year. See? So I think he's going to be all right. But these are the kind of things that sometimes happen. And then you can get in the bind, and then if you feel bad about it,
I think something with person. Now, I've been secretary of a couple of groups, and I have always, well, not the up in the air, but this meeting I had at my house. Now, I pocket the funds out of that meeting, but I keep an accurate record, write a check once a month, or every 2 months, or when there's 20 or 30 bucks, I'll write a check and turn it
in. That's right.
And I think, to me, as long as I keep accurate
records.
As long as
you keep a record, it doesn't make any difference where the money is.
Yeah. No. It might as well be
I think it is easier even if they
start a separate account.
Start a little savings account in a bank.
Yeah, that's
because that shows you that you're trying to be responsible.
Right.
It gives you an opportunity to be responsible. I was very happy when I was first around the program in AA that they asked me to be responsible because I couldn't be responsible for money or anything else, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, any place else.
Well, I know that
money just went through my hands like nothing, you know.
I think that if I was made a GSO representative before I was legally qualified, you know, said, as soon as you got your 6 months, then you automatically take over.
That's right. Well, we needed that,
but it kept me
clean. We needed you, that's right, and you needed that.
Sure.
See?
And being secretary of meeting, I often went to a meeting where I wouldn't normally have gone.
Look, I had to go to meetings because who the hell is going to set them up back?
Right.
I had, and sometimes I go sick or no sick, you know, doing well or not doing well. Tired or not tired, you know, I'd have to go.
Yeah.
But I always felt better after it was over. And but these are the things that we have to do. So the physical parts are more or less that. Contact the area, sheriff, chief police, or whoever, then, and also then find the public service, or the local newspapers, or whatever, or bulletin boards in the neighborhood, and type up a little notice. And maybe we could, in this part, put in a little notice, short little notice, you know, written
right.
As to the kind. Of
or various kinds.
See, yeah.
Kinds of notes. I have several.
That kind of notices, yeah. For public relations, you know. Then again, in public relations, we probably ought to mention that now. That anything dealing with the fellowship as a whole should be handled through the main office. Anybody who wants to know anything like that, come contact the main office or through the post office box. Anything local, any small things locally, they'll learn to handle that themselves. You know? Like they do in AA. That's public relations. Is people in the area going to talk to whoever's in charge of whatever who wants the information? Whether it's a hospital, whether it's a jail, whether it's a boat camp, whether it's a local merchant, whether it's a newspaper. You should get a little write-up there as to how to maintain the anonymity, especially at that level. You're bringing the traditions in again, tying it right in with the meat.
Right.
The principal interest.
And we're already into the next section of how to build support.
That's right. So all these things go into that, all the physical part of doing it. Got about purpose then many of the physical things we run into, you know, from starting a meeting to public relations.
Okay, we talked about location.
Yeah.
I think we've found that in a town like Los Angeles, the metropolitan area, meetings are best when they're close to freeways.
That's right.
And close to transportation.
Close to highways, main arteries.
Right. Center of town seems to be good.
Yeah.
Because you draw from the outside.
That's right.
These are all things that somebody should think about.
That's right. you know, it's fine if you can't do anything else to have a meeting like we used to have. One meeting, we had one meeting here, but there's only a few places in this valley, San Fernando Valley. We had one meeting in Agoura. Well, Agoura is what, 29 miles from here?
Right.
But you see, that was a good meeting, like on a Friday night.
Yeah.
Because some of the other meeting places on Friday night were like the local jail in Van Nuys. There was a meeting Friday night in Burbank. But Friday night in North Hollywood, which was the main stay around here at that time, was the ladies' meeting on Friday night. So all the guys could either go to the jail meeting or go to the road camps.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the road camps on Friday night were open for a meeting.
Right.
They wanted a meeting in the weekend.
And that is the help of the male newcomer.
That's right. Yeah. We see that then as time went on, some people grew up to that. Or you stop in on the way to, going up to a road camp. Stop on the way back.
Right, because we're usually over the camp.
And they were always glad to see us, and they would sometimes hold a meeting late for us and stop in. But you see, that was one of those things. And then that little group used to come into our meetings in here maybe once or twice a week, which was good. Because we didn't find anything really wrong in jumping in the car and driving 30, 35 miles, 20 miles to the meeting.
Well, even when I first came out, I was all over the camp.
I didn't think anything of it, you know. And as a matter of fact, sometimes that's one of the best ways to do 12-step work.
Sure. It ties in that old saying, you have to never go to a meeting alone.
That's right. You get two or three guys or a couple of gals and jump in the car, and you've got a meeting on the way to the meeting, you've got a meeting, you've got a meeting on the way home.
Right.
And these are all parts that fall right into place as time goes on. But young people who are starting new meetings don't realize this. This is one of the reasons, again, for this kind of...
Oh, something we left out on the previous section. We want to go into how to become a group within the fellowship. Now, that's the content, become an official group. And an official group has certain things that a meeting doesn't necessarily have. It has normally has officers.
That's right.
It has bookkeeping records. It has a standard place, a regular meeting time. One important thing we might point out there, well, this actually comes under do's and don'ts later.
Well, not only that, but if the meeting is called for 8 o'clock, it shouldn't start at 9.
Start at
8 o'clock or 8:30. If there's only two people that are started, then mm-hmm. the others will gradually get the idea and make it there. If it's possible, if it's three possible for them.
That's kind of
and not run it over either anymore than maybe a minute or two if it cannot be helped.
What about getting support from AA?
Well,
we've got a lot of referral from AA.
We get a lot of referrals to AA, and I think it would be good in order to contact the local AA and tell them, hey, you got any addicts that call you up and want to know what you can do for them. We're in business.
What about going after some of the recovering addicts in AA?
If you know somebody in AA who is also a recovered addict, perhaps you get them to come over and speak at your meeting or participate with you at the meeting. This in no way takes away from your fellowship, because as I pointed out earlier, but you'll point this out, I think, that we are different from AA in that respect. And the all drugs are within our province.
Right.
But we don't want to upset the apple cart by asking alcoholics in strictly to come into our meetings, because there are many differences, but a better handle than AA for the alcoholic.
Well, it'd be also
better there.
We
program.
We also have that responsibility and tradition that,
right.
Hey, we have to make this thing the best we can.
We are particularly interested in the addict and the recovery of the addict as well as ourselves.
I think we learned some harsh lessons on that. And well, that Friday night young people's meeting, it was an AA meeting going that was strictly addicts. And there are a couple of deaths that I put right on it.
That's right. And that's exactly where it is.
For new cutting alcoholics coming into a bunch of
when I went down that meeting, you know, that one night, they asked me to come down and say something. I went down there and I laid it out the way I saw it. This is a AA hall. It's a AA meeting. You don't even call. If you want to meet, that's fine. You know, they call it a special problem group.
Right.
and not a AA meeting, but they didn't want to do that. They wanted all the rights and privileges of AA without being alcoholics.
Yeah.
They were willing to admit that they couldn't drink, but they wanted to be known as addicts, and they wanted to get their cakes and their chips and so forth as addicts. Well, this is against all the traditions and all the policies of alcoholics.
So I know,
rightly so,
if I'd gone to my first meeting and there had been no one that I considered a drug addict there, I'm very doubtful that I would have come back. No, I think that's the crux of it.
See, when I went to
as my if I'd been
meeting,
out of the hall,
I felt like, yeah, I felt like I was wrong today at that time. But I also felt like there was something wrong, that I didn't fully belong.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I run into guys like Pat and like
well, I think this is
like
true.
Frank,
much of the country now.
And like Paul. It wasn't until I started running into some of these guys, you know, and Doris and Gilda. When I started running into them, that I began to know what was wrong. And of course, you know my story, that my background, I'm almost principally alcoholic in how I drank, how I operated. But right from the beginning, when I was a kid, I was stealing both booze and drugs, you know. So, see, it didn't make any difference to me, and maybe that's why I have the attitude I have. There is no difference in the others.
Right. The way
a lot of people do feel differently about it, and if that's the way they feel, fine, you know.
Well, I think the point I was trying to get was the importance of, you know, keeping an NA meeting for addicts, keeping an AA meeting for alcoholics. Sure, we can belong to both.
You know how I feel about the whole thing. I think in the long run that our form of recovery type meeting and everything else will be the one that will survive, because it's going to, as you see and as you read in some of the new stuff that's coming out, the terminology they're using is users, abusers, and so forth. They're talking about chemical dependence, chemical addictions, and so forth, and that's getting away from that separation of any one type thing. The only
right.
thing I don't like to see that's creeping in a lot of is the fact that they're putting tobacco and coffee and caffeine and so forth in the same
carbohydrate.
Yeah, and there's no comparison, you know. We know why, and we'll never go for that. But if that's what the doctors want to do, that's their choice. Let them do what they please, because we're always going to do it our own way anyway. You know?
Yeah.
See, I never heard of anybody yet, and I don't think you have either, that was picked up and taken to the court and put in jail because they were smoking a cigarette going down your feet. Not tobacco cigarette, anyway. I never heard anyone who was picked up on the freeway because he had he was acting funny and he couldn't drive his car because he was smoking too many cigarettes. Or he got sick, you know, but I was taken into the hospital, you know, and go through withdrawal because he smoked too many cigarettes. You know, I never heard of that. I never heard of anybody's wife, actually. I know a couple of wives that raise hell with their husband smoking and make the husband smoke outside the house. But I never really heard of many of them losing their happy homes because they were smoking. You know,
right.
Huge. They're pretty far out cases, you know. I saw them over here. I know there's a lot of arguments that happen in families because the old man or the wife was eating too much candy or drinking too much coffee, you know. But I never heard of many of them going to court and getting a divorce or separation or losing their children because of.
Right.
Yeah, losing custody of the children or losing the job because they were smoking too much, unless they got caught smoking in a job where they got highly volatile materials.
Like your plant.
Like years ago, I used to work in the paint shed, you know, and God, you just had to, and even there, we used to sneak a cigarette once in a while, all that big open vats, benzene, you know, big benzene, completely. So we didn't blow the whole place up. But,
that's where we are.
Yeah. And that's where I used to do a lot of sniffing. I used to work right over top of those vats. God, I'd walk out of that. Boy, and I was so loaded. I didn't need any drink. Phew! I doesn't have to even go sniffing anywhere. I sniffed enough while I was working. And here I go. I walk out, the 85 or 90 degrees outside, and I collapse. My head is so hot.
That's something I've had to face in my... I find I react. That's part of my job.
And
when I start feeling the effects of the solvent, I
get out.
Hey, I...
Get out. You know, fresh air.
It makes me sick. The first place that I feel the solvent is in the acidity of the stomach. And I leave. I can't...
And that's the way I am right now. You know, like your mother asked me if I do a little thing. I said, sure, I'll do a little thing. Because outside, you know, it doesn't bother me that much. Even indoor pain, not pain around me. I just take it easy with plenty of open windows, you know.
But I think this is a question a lot of people in anyone who's basically interested in industry. You talk about degreasers and, you know, hot degreasers and stuff. This is a question.
You take stuff like that Zolotone I used to spray. That's Zolotone, each of the pieces, you know. Oh, God. I've had to crawl out of room for that on my hands and knees.
Yeah. But again, I can't place that in the same category as my use.
No. No, it was different, you know.
It's different.
It's a difference. Difference there.
Maybe the difference is the intent.
That's right, the intention. And I think a lot of it is the intent.
Okay, we're talking about gathering support, basically. One thing we found effective is...
Of course, I think the best support they can get is the support you can get from each other. You only have two or three addicts who meet together.
Well, I'm basically talking about building up a meeting here.
Yeah. Well, that'd be the way to build it up, to get the word out that you're in business to try to help.
Right. Now, we found a lot of court referral.
Like what's her name? Go to the courts. Go to the doctors in the area here in the small town. Go to the doctors. Hey, you got anybody here that's strung out on anything that wants help? And you can't seem to help, you know? Refer them to us. See if they want what we've got. See if they want what we have to offer them to.
Right.
And so these are the ways to do it.
I know in this area too, we found the drug recovery houses.
Yep.
As limiting as they are.
Well, you have a lot of AA houses too, very often. That's where addicts will turn in.
Yeah. Because they show the symptoms.
They'll try to come down on wine or booze, you know, and then they'll get strung out on that. Or do both, you know, and they wind up in the drug and alcohol recovery.
Right, one thing that's obvious now that a good percentage of our newcomers are people who were initially exposed to the program in drug recovery,
that's right.
Even though they couldn't make
even
it out.
Even though they didn't want it.
Right.
We're exposed to it. And I got that right in the other room right now.
Sure.
You know, there's a couple of guys right in there right now doing that little stuff in there. And you know they didn't want it when they first came around. They weren't interested.
How about suggesting do's and don'ts experience? Now, the starting the meeting on time and ending it on time is important.
I think that's very important. One of the physical things that can be done.
And there's some basic... And
then, of course, the format will cover some of that physical part of running the meeting.
Yeah, well, this is kind of a suggestion.
Yeah. We could suggest that in the...
Hey, this has all been suggestions.
Yeah, the initial kits will contain meeting formats.
What about in some of the things we've talked about? How to start a meeting, getting in touch with authorities, schools,
yeah.
Hospitals. What sort of things shouldn't we do in those areas?
Well, I don't think
we should go and beg.
I don't think we should go and beg. I think we should just let them know where we are, what we're trying to do, give them a book. Give a doctor a booklet, give the sheriff a couple of booklets, give anybody in authority around the area a couple of booklets. Go to the principal of the school, give them a booklet.
It's spreading booklets around.
Especially
I know you've talked about a lot. People will come back years
they
later.
Back years later,
and found a booklet in some drawer.
On the street. Yeah. Found them in the drawer of a piece of furniture they bought.
Yeah.
One moved into a house and found something in the corners of it. They find a booklet of some of the old trash that was laying there. So that's the reason I never mind how many booklets we put out. God only knows how many booklets we've got scattered around the world, you know.
Right.
And what good they'll do, I don't know. And now once we get our Spanish literature, Spanish booklet, this will be an added thing, especially on the West Coast here, you know, from the Midwest. But even back east, there's so many Puerto Ricans, so many Filipinos, so many people from some South American countries, or up and down the East Coast now also, as well as out here.
Right.
And so we'll have that also. That will be something we can mention a little later, that we're going to have tapes, we're going to have Spanish literature, and possibly some of this stuff, then we'll have translated in Spanish also.
Can you think of any other do's and don'ts as far as getting a meeting started?
Only to the main and basic thing is to keep in contact with the central office, even though sometimes we may not answer right away. Maybe we get a little extra excess mail and we don't have enough people to handle the time, just to keep in touch with us anyway. That's the principal thing.
Right.
Because we can always let them know if somebody else is starting an area group.
Nearby.
Yeah, nearby. You can never tell. And I like this thing in Montana. Hey, as soon as I heard, I got that one letter from Billings. The next day, I get a call from Cutback. And I told her about the Billings letter I just got. She called Billings, Montana, and wrote them a letter. Now that quick, that gal in Billings got a reply from Montana.
Yeah.
Well, you see, these are the kind of things that we're able to do sometimes if we know what's going on.
Right.
Now, even this, something like this could be written up a little bit, maybe one of those papers, but this is the thing that happened in actuality. Like the time that I got a letter from a guy up in some little town up in Canada. He said he found one of our pamphlets, not knowing even, not being sure where to write. He didn't know where Sun Valley was in California, you know. But he did write to, he did write to New York, to General Service of AA, and asked if they knew anything at all about Narcotics Anonymous. And they sent him back a reply and said, yeah, write to the post office box. And he wrote to us, and from that I think we got a meeting started in Kingston Jail. For a while we had a meeting going there, and then they just stopped writing to us and died out. We wrote to them several times and got no reply. And that may have been that maybe the guy who started the group
got out,
and maybe the others were not interested.
And maybe he's got another group going somewhere else.
And he might have a group going somewhere else, or maybe he went to AA. As long as he recovered, what difference does it make?
No, it doesn't make any difference.
Same way with the group down in Australia. Now, last year I wrote three times, I haven't heard a thing. I'm going to possibly write again, you know. Now we had a group going in Honduras, you know, a number of years ago, and that died out. It was started by a parole officer. He started right in the Honolulu police station, and it only lasts a short time. Now I guess Nadine and somebody else are starting another group in Honolulu. And Nadine, who used to meet right up over here in their home in Glendale, in Durant. Jack and Nadine's place. We used to meet. One of our first rabbit meetings was held in their home. See? And you see, after all these years, then she happens to go to Honolulu and she starts to move. These are the things that happen.
Right. But I think an important thing is, I think, like you said, one of the biggest things is to keep in touch.
Yeah, and something else we could make a tape. We could make a tape and talk this out a little bit clearer. Maybe put out write a little bit of that. Format and then talk about it a little more on a tape. Some of the tape thing. People want a tape on it.
Yeah.
And these little things could be mentioned, like it's just coming to my mind right now. There's things that happen, you know, when people really start to begin to try to help themselves. And that's where it comes from.
Right.
I want to help myself. What do I do? See? Here I am, an addict, don't want to run anymore. I'm sick and tired of running. What the hell am I going to do to get straight? And these, all of these things can fall into place.
Who we got next?
Well, we're going to the type of meeting.
Suggestions, do's and don'ts from experience, types of meetings.
I think we'll get into that next time.
Yeah, we can get that into that next time. And
that's kind of a different...
I think you had that written up one time, didn't you? On your format, we'll get one of the formats.
Well, I want to get a basic format and then go into some specialized formats.
Good.
Maybe put in 10 different formats.
That'd be good.
And record keeping things that can be photocopied, the tear up of
photographs, photocopy them, yeah. That'd be a good idea.
Some of those sheets that hold a whole month of meetings in one sheet.
That'd be a good idea.
Maybe I'll design a new one that keeps it on one side.
Do that, and if we can just get some of this stuff as a basic in our files right here, so we've got them, then we can always copy.
And then we'll get into the business end of keeping a meeting going, and where to send the money, and what to do with the money. And
what to do when you run into special problems.
GSO, starting a GSO.
GSO meeting to take care of the group and their lives, which is what we're doing here.
And, the other things, activities. What kinds of activities would
possibly a lot of this, as we put this on tape too, we can go through these tapes, as you say, and pick out certain things and then really get them down on paper and then put them on a specific tape so we've got to remind ourselves also.
Well, I'm going to keep this tape, and I think we haven't taken many notes tonight. I think I'm going to work from the tape pretty much.
That'd be a good idea.
And then come back with the ideas that are talked about, and maybe expand on them or say, well, let's delete that.
Right. And as soon as you get anything down like that, Betty will type it all up for you, and then we can go over it again. Because it'll be good for her too, since she's going to school now. She's typing pretty good now. She needs more practice. So this will be one way to give her practice and do good practice, like I told her. She's still feeling to think a little bit shy about it, but like I told her there when I went in, I said, you want to come in and sit down there, too, because I'd like to get specifically her since she started in NA like you did. See? Because she's got some different ideas than we have. We started in the game.
Right.
But she has done a lot. You'd be surprised how much she did. She used to work down the Central Office for a while. And she helped some of the other guys get groups started, See, some of her sponsors were some of my babies earlier, Which turned out real good, So I think these things have worked out pretty good. And I'm going to build some shelves up in here so we can keep some of this stuff, I think I'll take that picture down, stick it back over here, and maybe build some shelves right up here.
Oh, you know what I'm going to do? It's going to be so neat. You know that closet in the front bedroom?
Yeah.
I'm going to take everything out of it and put the bookshelves on through the wall. They have a walk-in library.
Oh, that'd be nice. Yeah.
It's 5x6. And we'll floor ceiling books on all three walls. Put all the books in there.
That'd be a good deal. Yeah.
And I'm thinking about that addition on the house. I thought of a way that it might be very, very good at the start out. There's nothing, I don't have to get a permit for a pad.
No. Do that first.
I don't have to get a permit to put up a fence.
No.
So what I'm going to do is from the corner of the garage,
down
forward to the house, I'm going to put up a cinder block wall. I don't need a permit to do that. And that later will go into the dividing wall between the lanai and the one-car garage.
That's right. That's what we do. Do it partly that way. And then cover it up.
Right.
Just make sure that you've got enough room, leave enough room, and that if you want to put a window, you won't be allowed to put a window on that side. Okay. Have your windows, or even you can always have...
Well, you know what I was thinking of doing? Okay, now I'm going to take the garage, bring it forward, and cut it in half, right? And one half's going to be the new garage.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to put a solid cinder block wall with a door in it. And that will be...
That'll be your firewall.
What was the firewall, number one? Number two, I can put it up without a permit, because it's like building a fence.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, and I can put the door in it.
That's right.
And that will take care of that problem right now. Okay, I'm also going to put a brick wall further forward with a barbecue. And I won't roof any of it over to start out with.
You will? That's right.
And then I'll put a roof on that part.
Just make sure you make it strong enough and you put a brick wall, you know. It'll carry anything you're going to put on top.
Right. And then that'll leave opportunity for windows in the one eye. I plan to put about 3 foot and then make that little patio there. I don't need a permit for a patio. To put in a patio, and that's what it'll be.
And it's going to stay.
You know. And I forget about the back room.
Yeah.
Now, the only problem I may have in the future with that is that once I get that wall up, I'm limiting being able to get back there with equipment.
Yeah, that's true too. How much room do you have on the other side? You don't have much room on the other side of the house. Just a couple of feet.
There's actually quite a bit of room between those two houses.
Is it? I mean, to your building line? To your lot line?
Not too much.
Not too much.
Not to get a wheelbarrow.
About 3 foot?
Yeah.
Oh, 3 foot is pretty good.
But I don't know how much of a problem is. I'm going to have to do this network by hand, that's all.
Yeah. Well,
that's all it
means. If you've got 3 foot even, you can always end with a wheelbarrow. That's
right. Well, I've got water and everything back there. Why
you can always bring in a
bag.
Mixer, you know, if it's a 3 foot.
See, I'm going to have a door in that.
See, 3 foot, you can get a mixer.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll be able to go through that block wall into that little patio area, which will eventually can become a lanai. I think that's
Jimmy,
the best
way. Jimmy and Helga just put up a brick wall on their place.
Now, you don't need a permit for that, do you? To put up
a yard wall right now.
Well, it's even more like a fence, a center block fence, because what it will be doing actually is blocking it so the dog can't get out.
Sure.
I might even put the fence up the other side, too, but
sure. See, what I'm going to try to do this year is to put up a small fence up front here. Which brick about so high, and then we'll put a 1 foot fence on top of it, you know, and put a good gate. Well, just a short fence along this side of the house to that back point.
Well, what about the problem of, well, no, it wouldn't be a problem. If I put, say, an 8 foot high cinder block wall, I come up with wood from that or something for the wood.
Sure, because you can always come up and put a
lag bolts in.
You can put a, if you're pouring your solid up top like that, so you can always put blocks in. I mean, like, pins in.
Lag.
See? And,
then make the V out of
a... Lay a sill up top there, you know.
Yeah.
Lay a plate up top. And then lay on top of your plate and nail into your plate, see? And then just drive your spikes down through into your wall so it won't move, see? And then go around.
Then make it
2x6s, see? 2x6 and clean up that high, then so that'll add another six inches to your 8 plus 2. See, so you'll have about 9 foot that inside. Just go about 9 foot up, and if you put the roof on later, you can put some insulation in there, and I see I did have a little leak up there after all, I think, up there. Mm-hmm. And also see old efflorescence. I keep my eye on that.
It looks like water.
It's old efflorescence, I think. I'm going to re-roof this anyway up here this year.
But I think, you know, I think about this, the easiest way to go, because I can make a nice little area there and get
sure.
As long as it's in the layout of the plan.
That's right. It ain't going to hurt
nothing. Not going to hurt anything.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. And I can do that all without...
Okay, so we're up to about...
We're up to the types of meetings, specifics.
Types of meetings.
Specifics about meetings.
Yeah.
I think that's a good place to start.
Yeah.